Good morning, everyone. It is Thursday morning, Parshas Metzora, and we are sharing some thoughts on the Haggadah Shel Pesach. After the part of the Haggadah where Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, I'm like 70 years old, and I had not merited that Yetzias Mitzrayim should be said at night, etc., until the drushes are bought. Then, prior to the four sons, the Chacham, the Rosh, the Tamim, the She'enu De'alishol, so the Haggadah says something interesting. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. Blessed is the HaMakom, which is Hashem. Blessed be He. Baruch Shenasan Torah L'Amay Yisrael. Blessed is the one who gave Torah to Klai Yisrael. Baruch Hu. And then it says, K'neged Arba Bonim Dibur Torah. The Torah speaks about four children, as we know. So the Mefarshim asked, like, why is that introductory sentence, how does that relate to the Arba Bonim? Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. Blessed is the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Blessed is the Rebbeinu Shel Olam gave the Torah. That's very nice. But why is that an introduction to the four sons? Fair question. So last week I was in the East Coast and I picked up a new Haggadah. Haggadah Shel Pesach, Beis HaShoeva, of the comments of Rav Schwab, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and I was, it gave me good learning material on the plane. And I saw some very nice, interesting things here. And he says as follows. He says that where is the word hamakom to relate to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, right? What is that connotation when you say to, when you say about the Rebbeinu Shel Olam hamakom? Now think about that. So there's two places that come to mind. One place is when we go to a house of Shiva, and what do we say? Hamakom yinachem eschem, right? Hamakom relates to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. He says another place we find, like we've been saying this every day since the war in Gaza, right? We say our Tehillim, and then we say Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael, that Klai Yisrael who were in peril, Bayam Vayabasha, Hamakom yirachem aleihem, right? May the Rebbeinu Shel Olam have mercy on them. So he says, when is the word Hamakom used to refer to Hashem? It says when we are in a difficult situation, when there's sadness, when there's sorrow, right? So a person is sitting Shiva, so they are overcome with grief. So in that situation, when we want to refer to Hashem, we say Hamakom. I'll tell you why in just a second. Or Klal Yisrael is also is suffering. In this case, we have the hostages, we have soldiers that are in harm's way, and so on and so forth. There's always there's a situation of tsar and yoga and worry and sometimes sadness. He says, so he says, whenever that is a situation, when we're in a state of sorrow, we're in a state of angst. So the proper lashon to use is hamakom. Why is that? He says because it's coming to tell us that, you know, when we have angst, when we have anxiety, when we have sorrow, it really stems in part of us not seeing clearly that Hashem is with us, that Hashem is right there alongside us. In other words, He's going to help us, He's going to guide us, He's going to end our sorrows. It's Hamakom. Why is that the Lashon of Hamakom? You find a Pasuk in Lamed Gimel, Chaf Aleph and Shmos, by when Moshe Rabbeinu was davening to Hashem, it was in Parshas Kisisa, and he says to Hashem, show me your glory. So Hashem responds with a number of things, and then Vayomer Hashem says, Hinei makom iti, there is a place with me, v'nitzavta al tzura, you set yourself on the rock. Now there are two pshatim, we'll go with the second one. What does it mean, there is a place with me? Rashi, in his second pshat, brings the medrash, midrasho, Al Mokum Shashkina Sham, Al Mokum, it's a place, refers to a place, Shashkina Sham and Dabur, where the Shekhinah is speaking. For Omer Hamakomiti, the place is with me. The Eina Omer, it doesn't say, Ani Bamakom, I am in the place. The place is with me. Shakarish Baruchu Makomishal Olam, Hashem is the place of the world. The Ein Olamo Makomo, and the world is not his in his place. In other words, when you're in the shul is a place, and we are in the shul. The shul is not in me, I am in the shul. It's not the pshat that the Ribbono Shel Olam is in the world that he created. Hashem is the only Metzias. Hashem is the only reality. And in that reality of Hashem, he created a world. So the world is within him because he encompasses everything. He encompasses the world. And outside of this universe, right, there are other universes and there's other olamos. So there are many worlds that were created and destroyed. And there are many other worlds in terms of spheres and so on and so forth, and bodies and celestial beings. And Hashem is the only, it's hard to say that because we can only think in time and space, right? But he defies what we in our finite minds can only visualize as space. The Ribbono Shel Olam is Ein Sof. There's no beginning and no end. And in that beginning and no end entity, there is the world. That is Hamakom. That means that Hashem is everywhere. And so when a person is suffering, when you're, you know, we think what we're all alone. It's the worst feeling. People that are shut-ins, people that don't have anyone else in the world, and so on and so forth. They're so lonely. People that have all kinds of stresses and they have anxieties. But what they really would be comforted by is knowing that Hashem is always there, because Hashem is everywhere. Hashem is here, 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 and inside me. There's an old Yiddish song, Mizrach du, Mairav zu, Tzofen du, Dorem du. In other words, Hashem, you are south, you are north, you are east, you are west. Do. You are everything, right? That's how the way this song, there's no direction, there's no corner in the world that is not occupied by the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence. Okay, what does that have to do with the Arba Bonim? So Rav Schwab says something so nice. He says a person is sitting at a Seder, and he can have four sons, he can have one son, right? Or he can have no sons. A person is not blessed with children. So it's a time that a person can start thinking to himself, you know, what is this Seder all about? I'm all alone. I've got no children. I haven't been blessed, right? I've got no one to say Manishtana, right? So it's a time that there could be some sorrow that sets in, and some self-pity that sets in, and sometimes despair. So we say like this. We're about to talk about a father's relationship, different types of relationships with four different types of sons and their temperaments. And you should know, even if you have no son, but Hashem is with you, right? And Hashem will strengthen you. He will encourage you, and he will allow you to be the very best that you could be. And maybe you will be zochet to have children. And if you're past the age of having children, so you know, Hashem will help you and assist you in everything that you want to do, right? And find a way to find comfort and find a way to find purpose in life, even though you don't have the children. A person has a rasha, right? Now we're going to have one of the four sons. A person can feel, oi, what did I do? I raised a son who's a rasha. And, you know, what is a rasha actually? He's going to talk about this now. You know, we know that rasha is a bad connotation because a rasha is opposite of tzaddik. Too often we think of a rasha as an evil person. You know, in some of the old Haggadahs, I remember you have a picture of the rasha. He's wearing boxing you know, boxing gear and chomping on a cigar, like, you know, he's the Russia, he's the bad guy, right? So he says the Russia just means a Russia. He could be a good person, he could be a benevolent person, he could be a soft person at heart. But what it is the Torah says if a person keeps the mitzvah, he's a tzaddik, and if he doesn't keep the mitzvah, he's a Russia. So we're not translating the Russia as a wicked person, right? It's not. It's a misnomer. Now, of course, when the Jew lifted up his hands to strike the other Jew, so Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Russia, lama sakari echa? Why are you about to hit your friend?" And we understand that if he hits his friend, he is a Russia in the classical sense that he's wicked. This is not Rav Schwab anymore. This is me. Okay, but just raising up his hand, even if he doesn't strike him, he hasn't done anything wicked yet, right? It's like in the getter of, you tried, but you haven't done it yet. So that he's called wicked al shem ha'asa. The answer is that there's an avera to even raise a hand against a fellow Jew, right? So it's going against what the Torah wants. It doesn't mean that he is wicked. It means he is, if you want to say the word evil, that's a better word. But evil also in our lexicon has a connotation of a person who is mean. And Russia is the opposite of tzaddik. Tzaddik is a person who adheres to Hashem. Shem's mitzvahs, and a Rosh is a person who does not. He chooses not to. Okay. So once we clarify that in our minds, so now the father is thinking to myself, Oyve, I have a son who's a Rosh, and, what have I done? And, I haven't raised him properly. And he starts getting down on himself, and he fails to see, again, that the Rabbanu Shlomo is there. And the Rabbanu Shlomo is there, and he can give siyata d'shmaya, he can give divine help to help that son get on the right path. He can give the father the proper words and the path to take to help that son move along. You know, sometimes we try once, we try twice, we'll try a new method. But he says that's exactly when he sees that his son is not going on the path of his father's. He says, so that's what, and he can even hear a son that says, what's this all about? Gibberish that we're sitting at the Seder and eating crackers and eating romaine lettuce, like, well, what does that have to do with me? And you start to think, Oy vey Hashem, and it starts to get down on you. Hamokam baruch hamokam baruch hu. No. Let's not forget, you are always right there sitting on the Rabbanu Shalom's lap, if you could say it that way, so to speak, right? And Hashem will aid you and he will assist you. Yeshua Hashem keherafayin, the salvation of Hashem can come at the drop of a hat. Mamish, at the drop of a hat. We saw this last Shabbos or Sunday, whenever it was, with all those rockets that were shot down. I mean, that is think about it. Each one of those rockets, if it would have hit its goal, it had 800 pounds of explosive. It could have killed so many people. We just don't appreciate enough. The Rebbe Shlomo was there for us, He protected us. In other words, Hashem Yeshua, Hashem Keherafayim. And so therefore, we're giving akto, no matter what your family situation is, it's broader than that, no matter what your lot in life is, right? That Hamok Bar Hamokam, just in the same way we say Hamokam is always there, even in the times of sorrow and angst and worry and concern, but it's the same Rebbeinu Shlomo that will give us the strength to deal with whatever setbacks that we have in life relative to ourselves, relative to to our children. Okay, so I think that's a nice thought in terms of getting us explaining that framework as far as the is the Chacham is concerned. He says something interesting, and it's a theme of his. He wants to say, what is the Russia, when the Russia asks the question, Ma havodah azos lachem, what is this service for you? And that's really quoting, the pasuk itself says "Ma'avod Azos Lachem." If your son asks you that, so when we learn the pasuk of the Chumash, are we thinking that he's a Rosh? Like, why is the Haggadah using "Ma'avod Azos Lachem"? Incidentally, there are those that say that the text of our Haggadah were written no less than Anche Knesset Haggadola. So Rav Kasher, that's all in his Haggadah, at the very beginning, he talks historically about who wrote the Haggadah. He says, many people say it's Anche Knesset Haggadola, the men of the Great Assembly. That's the same Anche Knesset Haggadola who crafted the davening, the Shemona Esrei, everything that we have. This is an ancient. And then he says, some say, Rav and Shmuel were arguing about the text of the Gemara, Avodim Hayinu, where do you start from? He says, I don't think that's a contradiction. They gave the basic framework, and there are some aspects of it where there was not unanimity at that point. But in terms of the basic framework of most of the Haggadah, you find that comes from early on. And I do find that to be interesting, because if you look in the text of the Rishonim, how they have their Haggadah, it's too coincidental to say that they all came up from the same sort. Maybe it's from the Gaonim a generation earlier, but again, he's of the mindset that you have to treat it like it comes from the Anshei Knesset Haggadah, so that means you have to study the Haggadah like we study a Siddur, a Machzor, you see. So now he says, what does it mean, Ma'avod Azos Lachem? And the answer is, he says, it's for you and not for me, and because he said it's for you and not for me, he's denying, he's a denier, of existence, so to speak, and you should set his teeth on edge. Hakei Yashinav means to blunt his teeth. You do understand? If you ask any kid in school, what does it mean, Hakei Yashinav? It means knock out his teeth. Doesn't mean knock out his teeth. Well, yeah, hakei means, they think it means hockey, like in hockey. Hakei means you set his teeth on edge. You know, when you eat something sour, bitter, so you kind of, your tongue comes to the back of your teeth. Like it's, you said it, it's an uncomfortable feeling. That's what it means, hakei yashinav. And you say, no, Hashem did this for me when he took us out of Mitzrayim, and if you would have been there, you would not have been redeemed. Now, what is this all about? So he says that this Russia, he says as follows. He says that when he's saying this is a bunch of stuff that I can't relate to, he's not rejecting Yiddishkeit. Now he's not the guy with the boxing shorts and the chomping on the cigar, as the Maxwell House Haggadah might suggest, right, or whatever Haggadahs they have. He's not. He very much could be the kindest person in the world. He could be the most humane person in the world. He can be very philanthropic. He wants to help Jews. He wants to build infrastructure in the Jewish community. He wants to be part of every great organization that helps people. This is what Rav Schwab says. He says this shaila mit bo mitoshu rotzel lios yehudi tarbuti. You know what tarbuti means? A cultural Jew. Tarbut is culture. And he wants to be included in Klai, so he's proud of his Judaism, right? But he doesn't want to do the mitzvahs of the Torah. He doesn't understand why it's necessary to put on tefillin. Why is it necessary to keep Shabbos? In other words, my Judaism, Rav Schwab explains, he wants to manifest his Judaism in giving tzedakah, in giving aid and assistance to all kinds of Jewish causes, and to be there and to help other Jews. That's beautiful. Halafai, we should have that. He says, but that is still called the Russia, because anything that is devoid of a fulfillment of mitzvahs, we're not saying when we say, again, I just want to use the terminology, a person's a bad person. Bad person, yeah, but he gives so much tzedakah, and he helps so many people, and he has a food pantry and a Jewish food. Great. We're not talking about bad in terms of the way we define bad. We're talking about he's a person who's not following the Torah the way Hashem wants a Jew to follow the Torah. That's why he's called a Russia. So he says like this, you know, the word avoda, it's very interesting. The only time you find the word avoda stam, and it's pointed out, is the avoda of Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach is called avoda. You know, all of the korbanos in a sense are called avoda, right? But in particular, when the Chumash says the word avoda, it's talking about the Korban Pesach in particular. So he says like this: these are so many restrictions, and like this is this mahavoda azos lachem means. All of these, you know, you gotta take the animal, and you gotta check it for blemishes, and you have to slaughter in this way, and you spread the blood, and you have to eat it, and in certain groups, and so on. And you can't break the bone. And you have to eat it with matzah. The matzah has to be perfect, and it can't exceed the 18 minutes. And all this stuff, right? It's just too many rituals for me. That's not what I want. I want to define my Jewishness on my terms, and that's what I want to do. And the Rambam explains, of course, that one of the 13 principles of our faith is that the Rebbeinu Shlom gave us the Torah, right? And the Torah doesn't change. And even if a person's mindset is that I could be a good Jew without all of the restrictions and all of the requirements, he says, but that's really denying one of the 13 principles, because one of the 13 principles is that we are functioning Jews and good Jews because of the Torah and the mitzvahs that we keep. There's nothing he could do to make himself not Jewish with those thoughts. He's every bit of a Jew as everyone else. As the biggest tzaddik, right? The Jew that doesn't want to keep the mitzvahs is the same Jew as the Chavetz Chaim, right? Yisrael Afal Pi Shechata Yisrael, a Jew, even though he did an avera, he's still very much called a Jew. Okay, but the point is that he wants to accept the Judaism on his. He's part of Klai Yisrael. He is a part. We're all one body, right? And he should not move himself out of the body. Now a person could do all kinds of things and fail at times, but the idea is he has to accept upon himself the principle that to be what time is? Oh, we have to stop already. Okay, so we just kind of got started. He says, "Well, anyway, so that's about it. So you have to say like this: my beloved son, I love you very much. You're always my son, and I appreciate the fact that you identify as Jewish and you want to be a cultural Jew, but that's not enough. Because with those thoughts that's all you have to do, it's really opting out of one of the principles of our faith. And if you would have been there in Mitzrayim, and the only reason why we were redeemed, it says Bavur Zeh, because of the matzah, and because of the Moror, and because of the Korban Pesach, that's why Hashem says, I'm redeeming you. And we'll talk about this tomorrow. And if you're coming to say that you can't do any rituals, you would not have been part of that Yetzias Mitzrayim experience. You see? So the father is trying to give him some perspective. He's teaching, it's a teaching experience. And that's what the give and take between the father and the Russia is. We'll continue on this vein tomorrow, probably, with a little more on this subject. Have a good rest of your day.